Hello, my name is Ross Brand. I'm Milton R. Konvitz, Professor of Judeo-Islamic Studies here at Cornell University, Chair of the Department of Near Eastern Studies. We're in the Johnson Art Museum on the Cornell campus today to talk about Islam. Over the course of human history, religion has been a tremendously edifying force for good in organizing society and directing people to significant meaning in their lives. It's also been a force for tremendous conflict and ill will between people of different backgrounds and orientations. And today, of course, here in the United States, a tremendous amount of attention is placed on the Middle East and its religious civilization and the world around and beyond it. In our increasingly interdependent world, it's impossible to neglect religious civilizations, cultures, of people in other parts of the globe. We interact with these people economically, politically, and as we all too well know, recently events far abroad from the United States have been brought to our doorstep in the form of the attacks on the World Trade Center, 9/11 in New York City. We've neglected serious engagement and understanding of Islam, the Islamic world, Muslims, what their history is about, what their cultural assumptions can teach us. This is an extremely important topic, never more so than in this interdependent world in which we live. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world today, about one out of every five human beings, the most rapidly growing religion of all of the religions in the family of humankind. And the Islamic world, as we'll have a chance to learn, stretches from Morocco and the Atlantic in the far west all the way to Indonesia in the far east, along a littoral across the Mediterranean, intersecting virtually all of the continents except North and South America, but we'll talk about Islam in America a little bit later on too. Only about 20% of this Muslim population of 1.2 billion is ethnically Arab, meaning that even though commonly most Americans would associate the religion of Islam and the Muslim world with the Arabic-speaking heartland of that region, the number of non-Arab Muslims overwhelms the number of Arab Muslims and points to the breadth and diversity of the Islamic world, rather than its simple concentration in just the region with which we most frequently associate it. So too, there are in excess of 6 to 7 million Muslims in North America, meaning that Muslims today are our neighbors. They send their children to the same schools that our children go to. They send their children to the same campuses, such as Cornell University, that the rest of American society sends its children to. And the importance of our interaction with Muslims here in the United States is reflected in the practice adopted by each of the last several presidents and incorporated into much of the public discourse about religion. Whereas maybe 10 years or so ago, American political leaders would speak of churches, temples, and synagogues, today it's impossible to mention that list of where Americans go to worship without also including mosques. And commonly we now hear that Americans worship at churches, temples, synagogues, and mosques, a reflection that Islam and Muslims have come of age as central players in the mix that is American religion. And this group of people, along with all of the other people that make up this American mix, have struck roots and have begun to build their institutions, their religious schools, their think tanks, and so on, in a way that demands our attention as Americans to our own neighbors. We're going to be talking today about Islam in three respects, beginning with Islam as a religion. We'll also be talking about Islam as a polity, meaning Islamic society, Islamic political economy. Finally, we'll be talking about Islam as a civilization that is as complex and varied culturally as it is unified religiously. Let's begin our inquiry then into Islam with the religious dimension. Then we'll turn to the interplay of the religious, the political, and cultural aspects of Islam.